The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast with my co-host, Matt Hanifan. How you doing?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good. Today we're going to be talking some Indiana Pacers. We're less than a week away from basketball starting officially, which I'm very excited about. Obviously, the college basketball season is coming up. Two, that's going to be in full swing here in a couple of weeks. Nah, man, I'm very excited for this time of year. I love this time of year in the sports realm. Obviously, there's a bunch of different sports going on, but hoop specifically is starting, so I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. I can't wait for the college basketball season to start. That's the meat and potatoes of the YouTube channel, and then we'll be breaking down prospects, and we're even going to dedicate part of the episodes going forward once the college season starts to prospects, and then we'll talk a little NBA in here on the podcast as well. Speaking of the NBA, as you mentioned, you know, super close to the regular season starting, we have the upstart Indiana Pacers that exceeded everybody's expectations last year with their fast-paced basketball, five-out offense, playing zero defense, and Juan Nunez would have fit in great with the Indiana Pacers. He was drafted by them, but he was traded. Well, his pick was involved in a trade earlier in the year. So Juan Nunez shipped off to San Antonio to go play overseas. And instead, they have one Johnny Furphy. He's very intriguing to me. Played his basketball in Kansas and would stand in the corner and not do much. that was his college basketball career. Get out on the break, not do much defensively, and not do much really offensively in the half court. Most of his action was done in the full court in transition at Kansas. What I like about Furphy, man, is he athletic. He'll dunk on your head. Eerily similar to Tom Chambers for all the basketball aficionados back in the day. Off air, I know we talked about this a little bit, and you looked him up, and you did a double take. You're like, wait a minute, isn't this the game I just watched? Talk to me about Johnny Furphy. What do you like about Johnny Furphy?
I think from his summer league tape specifically, I think you mentioned, like, you know, him at Kansas, he stood a lot in the corner. He would knock down some shots there, here and there. I think towards the end of his Kansas tenure, I liked how he was able to, you know, attack closeouts a little bit. Like, he doesn't have a great handle, but I think he gained more confidence in it throughout the season. Him finishing through contact, like, he wasn't afraid to finish through contact, whether it was in transition or whether it was in the half court. And so those are just things, those are footnotes that I liked from him, you know, coming out of Kansas. I think in this Pacers context, specifically in the summer league, I thought he was moving around more offensively. Like, they were using him more, like, off the ball, like him coming around screens, you know, him going from corner to corner, like, you know, hammer screens, pin, whatever you want to call it. It just felt like he was moving more offensively, like there was more player movement within his game. And I think they wanted to get that out of him as, like, not necessarily a movement shooter, but a guy who can just be a threat from multiple different areas beyond the arc, even though a steady dose of his shot attempts still did come from the corner. Let me just make that clear. But then, like, on the rebounding, like, something that I liked from him, again, at Kansas and then now in the summer league context was his rebounding. And it felt like he wasn't, I mean, we're going to talk about Enrique Freeman a little bit. He wasn't quite Enrique Freeman in the sense that he was just always around the ball off misses, but you could tell he was crashing the offensive glass. Like, there was a lot of corner crashes, above the break crashes, that I liked. And then, like, defensively, I mean, there he was all right in summer. Like, that was something that I think they want to develop more out of him. And obviously for him, he's going to need to improve his strength. He's going to need to improve, you know, parts of his game, like his handle, like his playmaking, that stuff. But I think from him specifically, like, I see something there in terms of, I don't want to say 3-and-D, because I think that gets, that label kind of gets overblown, because guys who get labeled 3-and-D some kind can't shoot or can't play defense. And so I don't want to say 3-and-D, but I think, like, he can be a capable floor spacer, and that's something that I think they, obviously that's like his baseline, his floor, and I think they want to develop more parts of his game, some of which I just mentioned, but I also want to think they improve his strength. Because, I mean, he didn't shoot great in summer league, but, like, you can tell, like, his form wasn't bad. And, like, there were times where, again, he was, like, coming off of screens and whatnot. And, like, he was always well-balanced when he would, you know, catch and shoot or whatnot. And I think, obviously, once he, like, improves that part of his game, then he can leverage his, you know, ball handling if he improves it. Then he could, like, you know, leverage attack and close out, like, all that different type of traits in addition to his rebounding, in addition to, you know, just him getting stronger and playing even more through contact than he already did toward the end of his tenure at Kansas. Like, he wasn't shy at all. Like, there was a clip that I remember watching in preparation for this where he tried to dunk over, like, three Suns players at one time. It was just like, that's not something that many players are willing to try. And it just shows, like, the confidence to, like, okay, yeah, if I can get to the rim, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try to put you through the hoop. And I just like that mentality from him. Again, he's still, I think, still 19 years old. And so he's a young player with plenty of room to grow. And I do like what they have here. And I think they're going to spend some more time developing him before he actually gets a shot playing with the NBA club.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is, like you said, super young, 19 years old, 6'9", 200 pounds. And if anybody has watched Tom Chambers tape from back in the day, the highlights, there's an iconic highlight of him taking off from, like, I don't know, the dotted circle with 1 foot just jumping over a dude, clearing him and dunking on him with two hands. And Johnny Furphy has a dunk like that in college where he just puts his knee, like, right in the guy's chest, just goes right over top of him and dunks on his head. So he's definitely not afraid, man. He will get into the lane. His jump shot definitely isn't anything to write home about in terms of percentages. His form is good. I just think his touch isn't quite there yet. He needs more reps. He's really got to work on that. His foot speed is really subpar. That's definitely been from college all the way through summer league. And that's where his problem is, not just in point of attack defense, but also handling the ball. Like, his handles are okay, but he has no foot speed to go anywhere once he uses his handle. So in the NBA, his path is going to be more on curls, coming off of screens, back cuts, getting out in transition where he can just run in a straight line and take off on top of people's head or rebound and things like that. But here's the hope with his shooting. In summer league, he shot 85% from the free throw line. It's usually a pretty good indicator that your form's solid and that you're going to be able to get that to improve. Now, there wasn't a lot of free throw volume. I mean, he only had 1.75 attempts per game. That gets back to, once you're in the half court, he can't really beat anybody off the dribble. It's either, like you said, coming off a flare screen or a hammer screen and shooting a shot from the corner, or curling into the lane, getting layups, or, you know, dunk it on somebody in transition and things like that. So he's definitely a work in progress. It's a loaded roster. I could see him getting time in the G League, but at the same time, I could see him getting some minutes if there's like an injury or anything like that on the big club. So I could see that, because in that offense, he doesn't need the handle. It's a pace and space offense. Get out and run up tempo. He doesn't need to defend. Nobody defends on that team. So I could see a case where he could get some minutes eventually throughout the year, but I definitely think you're right. He starts the season in the G League. Now, the unique thing about this Indiana Pacers draft is they had a first round pick, but they also had 2 second round picks. Because as we talked about on this channel, second round picks, you cannot buy them anymore or you get hard capped. So a lot of teams in these trades, they're like, well, just throw in a second round pick and it'll be fine. Because they want to stock those second round picks so they don't have to buy them. And in this case, they had 2 second round picks. One was Tristan Newton, who's a very interesting player for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is that he's 23 years old. He's an older player, and he was on a championship team in college. So he's got a lot of winning experience, a lot of pedigree, and he's very versatile. I mean, he handles the ball. And here's my thing. Before I let you get your thoughts on Tristan Newton, is there anything that he does exceptionally well? Does he have any traits that he does exceptionally well? That's a question I'll pose to you.
You just mean for his position or like in general?
For his basketball game, period. Is there anything he does exceptionally well?
I mean, if the closest thing is probably his playmaking.
Probably.
That's probably,
but it's not exceptionally well. It's not even excellent. It's not, there's no superlative you'd attach to it. It's good.
Yeah.
He does that well.
Same with his rebounding, I guess, again, for his position.
Sure. That's my point for Tristan. That is the summation of his game. He does everything, but he does everything just well. Not good, not great, not excellent. There's nothing that stands out about his game that you would write home about and be like, wow, look at this guy. And he got away with that at UConn because in college, he had all that talent around him, all those stars. So that's all he needed to do was be just good enough. You can jack up threes whenever you have Donovan Klingit down there. You have Steph Castle crashing the glass, you know. You got Caravan, you know, knocking down threes. You just got to fit in. You got to get in where you fit in those situations. So that's my overall arching thought to make it short and concise with Tristan Newton. He just doesn't do anything. There's no excellent trait. He just does a little bit of everything. Jack of all trades, master of none. What did you see on the Summer League film?
Before I get to the good, were you as worried as I was with his lack of vertical athleticism?
I was extremely worried with his lack of vertical athleticism. Absolutely. And not just his vertical athleticism, but his burst handling the ball. Like, he's not very twitchy at all.
It was worrisome at times for him finishing around, him trying to finish around the rim. And just, like, obviously, if you, his percentages were not good. He shot 8 of 40 in summer league. 4 of 22 from beyond the arc. Like, it was a rough shooting summer league for Tristan Newton.
Just for the audience.
His playmaking was fine. I liked his point of attack defense on certain reps. His rebounding was solid, again, relative to his position. But, like, this also, like, in the context of this particular roster, like, he's behind Tyrese Halliburton. He's behind Andrew Nembhard. He's behind TJ McConnell. He's behind all three of these guys. All of whom, believe it or not, signed extensions. And so they're going to be there.
Last year's draft pick, Ben Shepherd. He's behind Ben Shepherd.
Right. like, all of these guys, he's behind.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And it's just so, like, again, this is something that he's on a two-way contract. They're going to work with him, obviously, in the G League about. I'm guessing he's going to, you know, I mean, he wasn't a bad shooter at UConn. Obviously, his free throw percentage was pretty good. I want to say it was in, like, the mid-80s. He shot close to 90% in summer league. So, like, his touch, I think, from his jump shot isn't bad. But for him, it's, like, again, I don't know how much he's going to be able to get to the rim. And then I just don't know how much he's going to be able to finish when he gets to the rim. And I think that's like my biggest concern when I was watching his tape. It's just like, to your point, like he doesn't do anything exceptionally well. He does plenty of things well, like where it's just like, okay, like, you know, good defense on this possession, good point of attack defense. He's willing, you know, get his face in the jersey of some dudes. He's willing, he's solid with his hands there. And then his playmaking, like, okay, like, yeah, he knows how to initiate offense. He knows how to run an offense. He knows how to be whether like a primary, secondary, you know, initiator in that sense. His rebound, it's like, okay, yeah, he's crashing the glass. Like he has those winning traits. But it's just like, I was like, ooh, like, I don't love this when it comes to some of the weaknesses offensively. And like, it, to me, that just stood out the most. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that before I dove into the good, because
no, you're,
that
you're...
part was just like,
oof.
I was a little concerned. Again, not to say it's going to be permanent forever, but like,
but you saw it in college too, though. This is the thing.
That's,
you saw right. His erratic finishing in college as well. He wasn't a sure thing going to the hoop. He could do it, but again, he's 23. Some of these kids are 18, 19 years old, you know, that he's playing against. He can do it because he's got a little bit more mature body. But when you get to the NBA, everybody's athletic. Everybody's got length. And 20% from the field, you know, five games played, you know, 18% from three. Not great, Bob.
No. No, not at all.
His effective field goal percentage in summer league, I mean, I can't, what was it? It was something like insane. It was 25%. His effective field goal percentage was 25%.
25% effective field goal, 43% true shooting.
Jeez, that's brutal. Brutal. And I mean, I like his playmaking, but he also averaged 2.5 turnovers though, right? A little over 2.5. So like,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's, again, this goes back to my original point. It's okay. It's solid. There's nothing great or wow you about it. What good, though, did you have?
Well, I mean, again, the good was like just something I briefly touched on was, you know, the playmaking. Like, I knew, like, watching him, obviously, I'm watching multiple other guys, but like he knew how to initiate offense. He didn't like hijack the offense or anything like that.
Right.
And then the rebounding again, the point of attack defense, like those are all stuff that I walked away like, okay, yeah, you're not shooting the ball well at all. No duh. But you're doing some of the little things.
That I mean, at 6'5", though, what did he get? 3 rebounds per game? Something like that. I mean, it's not bad, but again, it's not great.
Yeah, about 4.
About 4. Okay, that's decent. I'll give him that.
3.8 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 1.2 steals, 2.8 turnovers, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
In roughly 22 minutes.
Right. And then the path to make the roster, as you said, he'd have to climb over all these more established, more athletic, better shooting players. He's got a really rough path to make in the roster.
Yeah. There's got to be injuries or something, or maybe
trade.
You know, Rick will give him some spot minutes. You know, at the end
I don't
the
see that happening.
Like,
no. Nope.
Well, I'm saying like spot minutes if it's like a blowout with, you know.
He's on a two way. I mean, is he going to be up with the club?
Probably not much.
Probably not much.
Probably not much. At least as a rookie.
Yeah, because you'd got to get Ben Shepherd some run. He's previous year's, you know, draft pick. You're not going to give Newton run over Ben Shepherd. So,
right.
Yeah, that's a tough proposition for him. But he's not the only second round pick for the Indiana Pacers. We've got the young Enrique. Well, my apologies. Young compared to
you
me.
You said young Enrique Freeman. Is that like an oxymoron or something?
Compared to me, he's young. But he's okay. 24 years old. He's older than Tristan Newton, who's an older prospect. And he played at Akron, born in Cleveland, Ohio, 6'7", 206. Eerily similar body frame to Johnny Furphy, actually. And he's also on a two-way contract for the Indiana Pacers. But his field goal percentage was a lot better. I actually really liked his activity down low. I liked how he used his length. He would mix it up on the glass as well. I mean, he got 23 minutes a game, so it wasn't like he played a ton. But when he got in there, I mean, he would give you a block, he'd give you an assist. He did a little bit of everything except for shoot threes very well or free throws. What are your thoughts on the young, old Enrique Freeman?
I loved what I saw from Enrique Freeman. I don't think the stat sheet does him enough justice.
On the inside specifically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he has a motor where it's a 12 out of 10 every single play.
I love it.
And that's something that, like, I talked about Furphy earlier, like hunting the glass. Like, again, I'm just looking at the numbers right now. 22 total rebounds in 5 games, roughly 4.4 per game. It felt like he corralled way more than that. Or he was around the rim for way more than that.
Right.
Like, it felt like every single miss when he was on the floor, he was somewhat involved in, whether he's like tipping it or whatever the case is. And to me, like, again, I don't think that does him enough justice. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it just
feels
like.
How did he do on the offensive glass?
7 offensive rebounds, and it felt like he had 7 per game.
That's right.
Or he was around the rim for 7 per game.
Right. Yep.
And it to me, like, I love his motor offensively, defensively. Like, defensively, there were times where he was switching multiple positions and he was doing it really well. Again, he's a little bit of an undersized player.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say he's like a big or anything like that, but to me, he feels like he plays 5-6 inches bigger than he actually is.
Right.
But he's also incredibly mobile. Like, he runs the floor really well. He blocks shots well. Like, yep. There was a reason why he was one of the best defensive players like the MAC has seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
When he was at Akron, like, he was just everywhere on the floor when I watched him, during the summer league. And that was something where it was like, again, yeah, the numbers don't pop off the page for you. If you go back and look at the game log, they don't pop off the page for you.
Right.
But if you just sit down and watch 5 minutes of Enrique Freeman tape, you're like, whoa. Or at least that's what I was like. I was like, whoa, like, this dude pops off the page. Again, for his specific role, yeah, I would have liked him to shoot more threes. There was a game in the Phoenix game that I watched before I hopped on here where he was involved in a pick and pop with Tristan Newton. He did make the three. Like, his form was, you know, it looked solid. Again,
yeah,
rough free throw shooting, rough 3-point shooting. Like, I'm not going to say he has great form or anything like that. Right. Obviously, I don't think he shot many threes or many jump shots when he was at Akron. I think he improved that over time, but I don't think it was anything like staggering, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's something that they're going to work on with him. But just in terms of like some of the little stuff, I loved it. Loved it. I'm not going to miss it. I loved it.
Right. You can see a path to where he can make an NBA roster eventually, because he has a skill set that can fit in alongside other players where he doesn't need the ball. He can defend right. for you. He can rebound for you. He's going to give you all the hustle, you know, first to the floor, diving on loose balls. And he's going to make the right reads whenever he does get the ball. But what the key for him sticking is he's going to have to be solid enough, especially if it's with the Pacers, to space the floor, because they're that pace and space type game. So again, it's something to keep an eye on. It's something that you really like to have in the system, but it's not something that it's going to get him a roster spot like right away. Like, oh, we got to make a roster spot for Enrique Freeman. But on a two-way situation, absolutely. Love to have that type of player in the system. I really love the offensive glass part. Like, averaging only 4.5 rebounds per game in 23 minutes, every game, a rebound and a half is on the offensive glass. That's big time. And that doesn't even count the deflections that you get, you know, trying to tip the ball to your teammates or whatever, and you don't get it. Just any of that activity is just welcomed for a person that isn't going to need usage. Like, his usage rate in summer league was like 18%, something like that. Like, it's not like he had like a 25-30% usage rate or anything.
Right. And I know we're going to transition into the Miami Heat part of this pod, but watching him, it felt like I was watching Keshawn Johnson at certain points.
Yeah,
like, that's how much I liked his activity, like at certain points in certain spots on the floor.
So that's where I want to leave it today. Before we get out of here, let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_ that's my Twitter handle. You can find me at hothoops.com writing about the Miami Heat, VendettaSportsMedia.com, where I do a lot of NBA stuff, and then MountainWestConnection.com, where I will be doing a lot of college basketball stuff for the Mountain West Conference specifically. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, a couple of guys, Nick Clifford, Donovan Dent, that you and I are going to talk about, or I'll make you talk about. I'm just kidding. At some point throughout the college basketball season. But nah, man, I'm doing a lot of stuff for a lot of different people. Also, find us on watchplayback.tv/5RSN. Adele and I, including several others from the Five Reasons Sports Network, we watch Heat games together. We commentate on them together. We've been doing that throughout the preseason. We're going to be doing that once the regular season tips off on October 23rd. I'm excited, man. There's going to be a lot of good hoops content from you and I, in addition to all the other stuff that's going on at 5RSN for this upcoming season. And I'm pumped, man. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, man. As always, thrilled to have you. And you're definitely right about that. Tons of great hoops right around the corner here at Hoops Profile in the Beyond the Backboard podcast, as well as on 5RSN in both of our playback channels, playback.com/5RSN and then playback.com/hoops profile. We're going to be going over some college games. So I know I will. Maybe Matt will drop by for those Mountain West games. And then before we get out of here, you can find me and all the social media platforms under Digital Adele. That's my moniker. You can find this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Hoops Profiles, Beyond the Backboard podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to like, subscribe on YouTube, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. And, appreciate all of you. I'll see you next time.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.